Friday marked the beginning of the Global Citizenship Series of talks hosted by UBC. The series brings three experts from a wide variety of academic fields to speak and inspire students about the world around us. On Friday, Dr. David Orr, the Chair of Environmental Studies at Oberlin College, kicked off the series with a speech titled, The End of Education. First on stage were Dr. David Ng and Dr. Alan Sens, one a molecular scientist, the other a political one. They began their introductions by disclosing that only 24 hours before the event got underway, it looked like they would have to cancel. As it turns out, not even the Chan Center could survive the recent onslaught of rain we've been getting, and they suffered a bit of a flood, they said. Thankfully, all was resolved in time, and all audience members were unaware that the floor underneath them was slowly rotting away. Just kidding. Dr. Sens went on to introduce the concept of TERI, an interdisciplinary study of the world around us, introduced by the Faculty of Arts and Science. In describing the concept, Dr. Sens felt that he had to be honest.
Was that how are we going to get together and maybe teach a course together on global issues, on global citizenship? And then we got to thinking that neither of us knew anything.
Dr. Orr began his speech by connecting with the crowd here at UBC.
To Bill Rees, one of my real heroes in the world. And
well, that certainly got the crowd going. However, when it got time to get serious, Dr. Orr spoke of just how oil-dependent our society is, and his observations were not very optimistic.
We've lived our lives, and a number of assumptions have been made as we've come up the upslope. This is a chart all of you have seen. This is simply peak oil. And we really don't know where this peak is. Some people believe that the peak was actually last year on Thanksgiving Day at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But we don't know where the peak is. But we do know that we're coming to the end of the era of cheap, portable fossil fuels. Disinvent fire. You've got to go from a fossil fuel-driven world to one driven by efficiency and renewables.
Along the same lines, he also pointed out a fact that most people tend to overlook. The crisis we're facing is not a technological or political one. The problem is not that we cannot find more oil fields in the Middle East.
Perception and values. The ecological crisis is a crisis of mind, a crisis of how we think. Therefore, a challenge to institutions that purport to improve minds. In every way, this is a crisis, not first and foremost of technology or economics or even politics. It is a crisis of how we think about the world.
Second, in the spring of 2005, a chilling report came out. Titled The Millennium Ecosystem Assessment, the report found the consequences of human behavior on our ecosystems are causing potentially irreversible changes, and that our unsustainable ways are driving our world into extinction. Now, why haven't I heard of this report, I wondered. I mean, I like to think of myself as being well-informed. But then, Dr. Orr offered an explanation.
Now, one of the difficulties we have in the States, at least I'm sure this is not true in Canada, but the day that this came out, the New York Times, our flagship newspaper, had this, as I recall it, about page 8, and it gave it about 6 column inches. Page 1 was the Terry Schiavo case, if you recall that. The fact that the planet is dying was a kind of a minor concern. The fact that one woman may or may not have been brain dead was hugely important.
James Lovelock, judging by his tone, most of the audience inferred that Dr. Orr was not all that happy with the current situation in his country. However, his next comments left no doubt about his opinions.
Political machinery. No one wakes up in the morning and says, hey, I want to drive a species or two into extinction today. Or I'd just like to shoot a whale, pave something over, you know? No one wakes up like this. All right, Dick Cheney.
Next. Dr. Orr showed a slide with a picture of the cover of Jared Diamond's newest book, Collapse.
Aw, come on. This guy wasn't implying that we're one of those societies, is he?
Are we about to fall on our noses?
Diamond studies societies that fail to respond to ecological disorder and some that did respond in time to it. But when they fail to respond, here are the things that explain that situation. They failed because they failed to anticipate the problem, reasoned by false analogies or whatever, but they just didn't see what was coming. Sometimes they failed to see existing problems, things that are slow trends. Our eyes pick up fast and big, not slow and long-term kinds of things.
But then, as he kept listing the qualities of a society on the brink of collapse, the similarities were overwhelming. So what is the solution then? Is there anything we can do as a society to reverse this apocalyptic trend?
or are we doomed for collapse? Dr. Orr offered a quote from Albert Einstein, which seemed to sum up his position quite well.
Our task must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circles of compassion, to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature in its beauty.
All right, you may say, but where does UBC fit into this whole equation? I mean, as long as our McLean's University ranking goes up next year, we've all done our job, right? Well, not according to Orr.
We purport to be learning organizations to advance learning, and yet the issue before us, all of us in higher education, is whether we ourselves can become part of learning organizations, not relative to market share, not relative to grant revenues, but relative to these large changes in the biogeochemical cycles of the Earth, the large changes in the human prospect.
During the question period, an audience member brought up the memories of Kennedy's vision of America on the moon. Was it not time for developed countries like Canada and the United States to set a similar vision about energy sustainability? I mean, we have the technology, so what's the problem?
Given to us. But we suffer right now in the States a vacuum of leadership. That may not be quite the right way to say it, because we're being led the wrong way.
So I guess we'll have to wait a while before the leaders from up top will rally behind the ecological cause. As I was getting off my seat, I suddenly realized that unfortunately, Dr. Orr left us with no easy solutions. He didn't offer a quick fix that would set the world on track within the next 10 years. What he did do, however, was encourage action. It's people like us, 20-somethings with a vision and the drive to carry through, that have the power to change the world. Feeling upset at the current situation, yet hopeful with the future, I left the Chan Center with many more questions than I had an hour earlier. But that's good. Questions are good. The next speaker in the Global Citizenship Series will be Dr. Stephen Lewis, the UN Secretary General's Special Envoy for HIV/AIDS in Africa. His speech will be at the Chan Center on February 6th. Until next time, I'm Peter Otis for News 101.